Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Open Society and Its Enemies is Karl Raimund Popper's landmark defense of liberal democracy and critical reason, written in the shadow of 20th century totalitarianism. In this work, Popper argues that free societies depend on institutions that allow peaceful reform, public criticism, and the correction of mistakes. He challenges influential traditions in political philosophy that, in his view, encourage authoritarian outcomes by claiming access to historical destiny or perfect social blueprints. Popper focuses on major figures such as Plato, Hegel, and Marx as representative sources of what he calls historicism, the belief that history follows discoverable laws that can justify coercive planning. The Princeton Classics edition situates the book as both a classic of political thought and a practical warning about how intellectual ideas can shape real political movements. Readers encounter a forceful case for piecemeal improvement over utopian engineering and for humility in politics grounded in fallible human knowledge. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the meaning of an open society. Popper's core contribution is his distinction between an open society and its closed alternatives. An open society is not defined by perfection or the absence of conflict, but by a political and cultural framework that treats disagreement as normal and useful. In such a society, citizens can question leaders, challenge traditions, and replace governments without violence. Popper links openness to the practice of critical rationalism, the idea that knowledge advances through conjectures tested by criticism rather than through claims of final certainty. Politically, this translates into institutions that limit power, protect individual rights, and make policy reversible when it fails. He emphasizes that the central problem is not designing ideal rulers, but designing safeguards against bad rulers and misguided policies. This focus on error correction reshapes how readers think about democracy. Democracy is valuable because it provides mechanisms for accountability and peaceful change. Popper also warns that intolerance of criticism and the craving for certainty can push societies toward closed forms where tradition or ideology becomes unquestionable. The open society, by contrast, is a moral and practical commitment to freedom of thought, pluralism, and incremental learning. Secondly, historicism and the illusion of historical destiny. A major thread of the book is Popper's critique of historicism, the belief that history unfolds according to discoverable laws that allow thinkers to predict the future course of society. Popper argues that this outlook encourages political movements to treat their goals as inevitable, which can be used to justify coercion in the present. If a leader claims to know the direction of history, dissent becomes not merely disagreement but an obstacle to destiny. Popper challenges the intellectual plausibility of historical prophecy by emphasizing human creativity, the unpredictability of new knowledge, and the complexity of social interactions. Because people learn, innovate, and respond to changing circumstances, the future cannot be forecast with the kind of precision historicists imply. He also shows how historicist narratives can provide comforting meaning during uncertainty, offering a sense that suffering is part of a grand plan. Yet this comfort can be politically dangerous, since it shifts attention away from concrete harms and toward abstract promises. Popper's alternative is to treat social science as problem-oriented and policy-relevant, focused on identifying specific evils and evaluating reforms rather than announcing inevitable stages of history. The critique invites readers to distrust ideological certainty and to value flexible institutions over grand historical scripts. Thirdly, Plato and the appeal of the closed society. Popper devotes substantial attention to Plato as an emblematic source of anti-liberal political thinking. His argument is not that Plato is simply a historical villain, but that certain philosophical moves can rationalize rigid hierarchical politics. Popper interprets Plato as promoting a model of society organized by fixed roles, guided by an elite, and protected from change that might disrupt social harmony. In this reading, the longing for stability becomes a longing for control, and political authority is tied to claims of superior insight. Popper connects this to the idea of a closed society, where social structure is treated as natural, sacred, or beyond questioning. Such a framework can portray individual autonomy as a threat and diversity as decay. Popper's analysis highlights how utopian political designs can require censorship, propaganda, and repression to maintain the planned order, because real societies are dynamic and resistant to rigid molding. Even for readers who disagree with aspects of his interpretation, the discussion functions as a case study in how arguments for unity and virtue can be leveraged to restrict freedom. It encourages careful scrutiny of political theories that prioritize collective harmony over individual rights, and that treat dissent as a form of moral or civic corruption. Fourthly, Hegel, nationalism, and the sanctification of the state. Popper criticizes strands of modern philosophy. He associates with Hegel for encouraging a style of thinking in which the state is elevated beyond ordinary moral evaluation. In Popper's account, when the state is depicted as the embodiment of reason or the culmination of history, loyalty can be reframed as a moral duty that overrides individual conscience. This can feed nationalism, militarism, and deference to authority, especially when political power is wrapped in the language of destiny and higher purpose. Popper is particularly concerned with how obscure or grandiose theorizing can insulate political claims from criticism, making them seem profound while avoiding clear standards of truth and accountability. He argues that democratic politics needs clarity, contestability, and the possibility of admitting error, whereas state worship discourages these habits. The result can be an intellectual environment where citizens are taught to identify freedom with obedience, and where criticism is treated as betrayal. Popper's wider point is methodological as well as political. When philosophical systems claim to reconcile all contradictions and explain everything, they often become tools for closing debate rather than opening it. The chapter theme resonates with contemporary issues, from propaganda and ideological education to the temptation to treat national projects as unquestionable. Lastly, Marxism, reform, and piecemeal social engineering. Popper's treatment of Marx is more nuanced than a simple dismissal. He recognizes Marx's moral impulse to expose exploitation and to analyze social conflict, yet he challenges the predictive and revolutionary claims often associated with Marxist historicism. Popper argues that theories promising inevitable collapse of capitalism and a final resolution of social contradictions can encourage political movements to excuse present-day coercion as a necessary step toward a promised future. He contrasts revolutionary utopian engineering with what he calls piecemeal social engineering, an approach that targets specific, observable problems such as poverty, corruption, or discrimination through reforms that can be tested and revised. Piecemeal reform, in his view, reduces the risk of catastrophic unintended consequences because it preserves feedback mechanisms and maintains the possibility of reversal. Popper also emphasizes institutional design rather than asking who should rule. We should ask how to minimize harm when rulers are incompetent or abusive. This leads to a preference for constitutional constraints, independent courts, free media, and competitive elections. The broader lesson is ethical as well as practical. Politics should prioritize reducing suffering and protecting individuals over implementing comprehensive blueprints. Popper's arguments remain relevant to debates about central planning, ideological movements, and the balance between structural change and incremental improvement. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in political philosophy, democratic theory, the history of ideas, and the intellectual roots of authoritarianism. Students, journalists, policymakers, and thoughtful citizens who want to understand how abstract theories can shape real institutions will find it especially valuable. The practical benefit is a strengthened ability to spot the warning signs of closed thinking, claims of infallible leadership, appeals to historical inevitability, and proposals that require silencing critics to succeed. Popper offers a life-enhancing mindset centered on fallibility, open debate, and reform that can be evaluated by results rather than by ideology. That perspective helps readers make clearer judgments about political rhetoric, social movements, and even workplace or community governance where power can become insulated from feedback. Compared to many books on democracy that focus mainly on ideals or policy, this one stands out for linking epistemology, ethics, and institutional design into a single argument. The best societies are those that can correct their mistakes with minimal human cost. It is worth buying because it provides a durable framework for defending freedom without naive optimism, combining historical engagement with a method for thinking critically about any grand political promise. If you would like to support Karl Raimund Popper, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.